took a week's vacation to forget her. His girl took a beach with a bottle in his lap. Now he's still sick and sobbing with his head on the floor. Thinks about it now, how he never really wept. Can't be held responsible. She was touching her face. I won't be held responsible. She fell in love in the first place.
Call her like a lady. Hey everybody, welcome to Reporting is Eligible. We are back because the draft is a big deal. Before we get into football, first, all of your favorite APC podcasts, or at least some of them, or most of them, or some conglomeration of them, have found a new home. If you want to listen to this, plus all the other ones you listen to, just uninterrupted on a feed, track down Frozen Tundra Frequencies. And there's a Twitter account for it to keep you updated on it. This podcast will continue to post in both places, as is our tradition. But if you liked the way that it worked on the Acme Packing Company podcast feed, we'll be putting something back together like that in the not-too-distant future. I think starting kind of tomorrow or Wednesday. But, you know, this will be there too. Anyway, that's that. Drafts on Thursday. Packers pick 25th overall, in addition to several other picks, actually. And we could not have draft coverage on here without one of our resident draft experts. So, first off, from, I assume, Indiana, we have...
Oh, I mean, I thought you were going to introduce the other guy. But nah. What's up? I'm Tyler Brook, and I wrote a book. It's good to see you guys. It feels like it's been ages.
Yeah, good to see you, too. It has been. We've been, you know,
for real.
Off football a little bit. I mean, you've been busy because you've been doing Justice podcasts until they all got nuked. And which was sad for me because that's how I learn what I'm going to talk about. But I'm glad to have you here just for that. Matt, this is too much shtick. We have to introduce you too.
It's too much shtick. All right, I'm Matt, but you can call me Matt back to Packing Company, Meme Weaver in general, Twitter, Rebel Rouser. And I get to play JR because I have not followed draft coverage at all.
Yeah, you do. So That's going to be useful. You get to be the host.
You
just call me a useful idiot?
No, not useful idiot. That's going to be useful. You get to play the host.
Right, it's a figure of speech.
Well, yeah, but it usually means people who empower communism, like.
Right.
Yes.
And Tyler's a dictator. I thought we've already established.
No, outstanding. But Tub, when you really think about it, though, when it comes down to like brass tacks, you probably have just as good of a guess at guessing who's going to be good and bad as I do. If you really think about it.
That's fair, but also I don't chop up as much film as you do.
Yeah,
so, tape keeper. Am I right, Paul?
Tape keeper is right. Yes, it is. So
I was gonna say if we're going off of just like throwing darts at the top 100, then yeah, probably. But I think that you're a little bit more informed on your guesswork than I am.
I think ours. I'm not gonna take any credit for this myself. I think you and Justice do a better job than most of the rest of the Packers sphere, and I find it weird to look at the conventional wisdom at some of our competitors and just how different it is from what you guys do. Like a lot of love for guys you hate. I think the Amarius Mims thing kind of is what brought it to a head for me, because there's a lot of hate for him out there. And you guys were just talking behind the scenes, like they clearly haven't watched him. They clearly just saw how much he weighs compared to everybody else. Cause he's like 25 pounds heavier than every other tackle in this draft. But like, you know, the giant guys who move well are the super valuable guys. So I went and watched him. I can't watch line play for crap, but he looks really good to me.
I was shocked when I watched him for a guy that doesn't have a lot of starts under his belt or anything like that. And I'm sure we'll talk about a ton of prospects throughout this. But I mean, it's one of those things where we've just completely overcomplicated the process. And everyone's shouting all these reasons of why Amarius Mims can't go at 25. Like, he's too inexperienced. He's injury prone. Yada, yada, yada. Athletic testing, thresholds, all this. And I'm like, did you watch him play football? Because if you watch him play football, he's really good at the football.
Yeah.
I think I'm one of the good football players.
Okay, so for the uninformed, such as myself, this dude ran a 5.07 at 340 pounds.
Yep.
That is so much human to move so fast.
The best part of the draft process was his supposed shuttle and three cone times came out, and it turns out they just like there was a recording error, and his testing was supposed to be like 99th percentile shuttle at 340 pounds. Turns out they just had the wrong person. I think it was could not tell you who it was, but they basically like missed a name and the times got messed up.
So it was like some receiver's time got transcribed into the wrong place. So not that. So we've sort of talked, you guys at least have talked this to death at this point, but I saw you wrote to your guys you would not want today. Mm. Yeah. But for the first round anyway, like, who do you want? Who do you think they'll take? And who would tick you off if they took?
All right, I'm going to make sure the first two are different. Who do I want? Let me just look.
They can be the same if you think they'll take who you want them to take.
Okay, no, there's one I want, and it's a term of positional value. But the guy I think might be the best defensive player in the draft is Byron Murphy.
Really? Interesting, okay.
When I think about the Kenny Clark situation, just the buzz I've heard behind the scenes of it's hard to get a long-term deal done with him. And I know the Packers are very weird about third contracts. And I think about that long-term need switching to a 4-3 base defense. That dude is just, he's everything I want in a defensive tackle prospect, like a little undersized, but unreal explosiveness, outstanding motor, plays with awesome leverage and extensions. So like he wins with explosiveness and strength, and he never gives up on plays. There are plays where he's literally like on the ground being double teamed and he still comes away with tackles. Probably my favorite player. I don't think he lasts that long. I don't think he is a Packer, but that's just the guy I would want. Irrationally, I know I'll get hammered for why would you want a defensive lineman when there's other needs, but I just think, you know, it's very hard to find the true disruptive defensive lineman prospects. And I think Byron Murphy is one of those. Guy I think they'll take and kind of hope they take, honestly, is Grant Barden out of Duke. Versatility, finishes through the whistle. A little, you know, the argument is he has too short of arms to play tackle. Some people are seeing him as a center prospect, but he almost tests very closely to Zach Tom.
Yeah.
And I kind of love that. I think having two Zach Toms on the team is kind of amazing. If you have not watched Grant Barden, I highly recommend you watch the Florida State film where it's just good on good against Jared Verse and you come away liking both players.
Yeah.
Guy I don't want. Of the three I wrote about, the guy I absolutely do not want is Tyler Guyton. Oklahoma, and this is the same thing as Mims, like really huge, looks like he would test well really athletically. I think he did test well athletically, but he just comes in soft. And I know I hate saying that about a prospect, but for a guy that size, when you see him as a puller, like instead of driving his feet and like, you know, finishing through the whistle, washing a guy out, he kind of just throws a shoulder into defenders and then just stops his feet entirely.
Yeah.
And it drives me absolutely insane. And that's kind of like the perfect embodiment of him as a prospect. Like he has all these gifts, all these tools, all this talent, but when it comes to actual like technique and effort, it just feels like it's lacking. And it really frustrates me when you're thinking about a first round pick.
Yep. I got a couple kids on my soccer team who will just kick the ball and then not follow it. And sounds kind of like that. Matt, do you have guys in mind at all, or are you just pulling hosts?
So as the everyman,
yep.
I think Cooper DeJean is this year's HaHa Clinton Dix.
Really?
I don't mean that in how it turned out.
Okay.
I mean that in, do you guys remember that draft?
Oh, I wanted Clinton Dix. I remember.
Right. So I did too. Yeah. I really wanted Clinton Dix. He was mocked to the Packers a million times, and we had to all hear for months and months that he was going to be the Packers pick, but also that he was going to be gone by then. So sure, make it DeJean. I like him as a safety, but I've been burned by Iowa safeties or Iowa DBs before.
I do think it's DeJean.
It is DeJean. Just for
he's DeJean. Like this is how it's got to be.
Him and Bijan Robinson can join forces.
In your defense, the intro music is Mustard Plug. So.
Tyler, do you even know who that is?
Nope, never
heard. There's no reason you should know who that is.
No, the reason he doesn't know is because he wasn't in band.
Oh, okay, that's a fair point.
I played baritone. Hey, now I played baritone growing up.
How, if you were a band kid, how do you not know like all ska music ever?
I have been to ska concerts. I do not know who this is.
Mustard Plug is most famous for doing a cover of The Verve's "The Freshman," which you probably also don't know because you're a kid.
No.
Yeah. It's fine. Anyway,
I've seen Mustard Plug in concert. I've seen Streetlight Manifesto, Mighty Mighty Boss Tones, Less Than Jake.
I've seen all of those bands as well.
Okay, so no, but he's look, if he's going to be a Packer, he's Dijon because there's going to be too many brat jokes.
Fair enough. So I actually want him. He's the one I want. I think he's the best defensive player in the draft just because, aside from being an exceptional athlete, he tracks the ball better than anybody I've seen.
It really does.
It's insane. And I think as a kind of anything, as a slot corner, as a safety, as like a robber safety, as a guy who's just reading the quarterback's eyes, he's just, I don't know that I've seen anybody better than him. Plays the run really well as well, is really smart at taking on blocks. And I really liked how he undercuts guys. Like, he's really good at deking guys into rounding off their routes and getting in front of them. So I did not expect to like his tape. I went in thinking I'm going to find holes in his game so that I don't like the obvious Packer pick. But no, I think he's awesome. I want him totally.
The thing I love about him potentially in Green Bay is they've already talked about how they want Xavier McKinney to be this like versatile chess piece in the backfield. And you pair him with DeJean, and then you're telling a quarterback, like, identify the safeties, but then you don't know which of the safeties is potentially playing, like, in the slot, who's rolling, who's over the top. Like, there's so much disguising and, like, eye candy you can give to quarterbacks. Like, it's going to make it a nightmare for especially younger quarterbacks, and especially in the NFC North, when you might have a bunch of young quarterbacks, could make things really difficult for them, and I think unlock the defense.
Yep.
Guy I don't want is Tyler Newbin.
I don't want
him. In the first round. Yeah, no, thank you.
He is my.
I don't want him at all.
I don't want him at all. He's off my board. He's my that would make me mad guy. I think they'll take Kool-Aid. That is my pick for who I think they'll take.
Ugh.
He's there in the most mocks. He's there in the ESPN analytics percentage of guys who were there. I think they had him in for a visit. I'm pretty sure they did. I meant to check the 30 tracker and I did not.
I think they did, yeah.
Yep. And I think that's kind of my bet. But I don't like him at all. So it's a pessimistic projection for me.
So I agree with that take. But if it happens and you need to like fan brain cope yourself into it, he is not going to let guys get separation in man coverage. Like, he is just going to be like stick 'em to wide receivers. And Jeff Hafley, having a DB background, can like absolutely develop that guy into a potential star.
He ran a 7.23 cone, Tyler.
That sounds bad.
That's bad.
Yeah,
that's bad.
That's
I didn't know it was that bad. Why'd they have him in for a visit? They never pick guys with 7.2s.
He had a 4.51 short shuttle. Yeah. That's like, he has no agility. He's a tight end. Like
he's very instinctive and he does crash downhill. Yeah. I'm trying to be nice.
Yep.
My biggest issue on film was just the lack of effort. If the quarterback's not even looking his way in coverage. Is someone trying to engage with him as a blocker? Is he going to actually fight off that block? Like, I think with the frame and effort, things kind of worry me in the run game. So there's some deficiencies there there's too much that just feels weird. Also, I don't trust a guy that willingly calls himself Kool-Aid.
I agree.
It's just, there's something about it.
I mean, so if we're going off of like name alone, I want them to draft Chop because. And also decent pass rusher, and you can never have too many.
You cannot.
He is not a very good pass rusher, but he could be one day.
Yep. He's a good athlete. Right.
So he's
an unreal athlete for an edge.
Yeah, he's a great first step. And I feel
let me tell you, he has figured that out.
So
he can figure out the rest.
That's like, I don't think you can teach first step.
You cannot.
I think being
it's
able
freaky.
To read this
it
map
is freaky.
And you can teach everything else. Like, LVN came in only knowing how to bull rush.
Yeah.
And we at least.
He was pretty dope. I really enjoyed him as a rookie.
Yep. Yeah. I'll never complain about an athletic edge. Yeah. As a rule.
Yeah.
It's always good value. Yep. So I did put the consensus boards. There's three major ones. They all disagree a lot, which Arif wrote about. Arif actually has Chop at 25 on the consensus board. So. Very possible. The NFL mock draft database has Newton, who I do not like. The Athletic has Barton at 25. So, two out of three.
We're talking about Johnny Newton?
I think it's the Illinois.
Yeah.
Defensive lineman guy.
He's fun. You got to go back to watch 2022. I think he played hurt for a lot of last year. He's fun. I don't know if I would want him in Green Bay.
Fair enough.
The saving grace to me if they draft Barton is just like how many whiskey jokes I get to make.
Yeah.
Barton's a large distiller.
I think I've been there on my bourbon trail. I can't remember, though.
And, yeah, he'd be good. And then I did make the Olufashanu is just one letter off of Old Fashioned.
If we get Olufashanu, I'm going to be so happy. Just, I don't think it's going to happen.
I don't think it's going to happen. He's going to go too early.
I would be so happy.
We spent a lot of time on the first round. Tyler, do you have any good second or third round guys to keep an eye on?
Great question. If we're done day two, I mean, I keep talking about Jalen Wright at running back. I mean, honestly, any running back.
I love Jalen Wright. He's super fun.
He's so fast.
Yes, he is.
If they like really want to take a swing on running back, I would be thrilled with Trey Benson. I don't understand why he doesn't. Danny Kelly had this great rant today on the Ringer's Fantasy Show, which is very entertaining. Just about, I think he thinks he's taking crazy pills because no one talks about Trey Benson as RB1. Just an insane talent, like size, speed, breaks a ton of tackles, catches the ball.
I will also give a quick shout out to the Ringer's Draft Guide, which Danny Kelly is the producer of, and that Ben Solak added a lot of analytical heft to, especially on the skill positions. It's really, really well done, especially on the quarterbacks. I would urge anybody to read the quarterback sections in particular.
We could talk a little wide receiver. I don't think they take one that early. If they do, because they just don't trust Christian Watson's hammies, then Xavier Leggett out of South Carolina makes sense. It's the height, weight, speed guy.
Wow, dude. Somewhere his dad just got the urge to send you an angry message on Twitter.
Hey, man, let me be clear. I hope his hamstrings are okay.
Yeah, same.
Because when he's healthy, he's very fun. He's very fast. He can make some plays.
Yep. Do you have any read at all? I know this is the big mystery with Leggett, but as to why he did take so long to be good at all?
No. Okay. No, I don't. I watched him this year. I went, wow, that guy's pretty good. Yeah. He's pretty good football.
The same thing. Like, he pops on tape. I don't know what took them so long to get him in the lineup and what took him. Maybe I've been looking for like he grew 3 inches or something story or gained 30 pounds of muscle or something, but does not seem to be the case. Just seems to be random coaching weirdness.
Edgerrin Cooper, I mean, just any linebacker day two, I think is fine. Yeah. It's like in that group. I really want Javon Bullard, the safety, if they don't go with Dejean, just because he's like the only other guy that feels like a true versatile safety prospect. Yep.
The mock draft database has Bullard as the 58th on the board, which is our pick. So
I've got a top 58. I'm rooting for that one. I've got a top 50 grade on Bullard. Like, I'm very high on him. He is my number one ranked safety. Sneaky one I really like because I don't love Kool-Aid in the first round. I really like TJ Tampa in the second out of Iowa State. Like, he is a well-built, wiry, long, mean SOB as a cornerback. Like, he will press you. He will hit you as hard as he can. He plays his tail off. He's a little bit stiff. He doesn't have the best deep top end play speed. But if he jams you up or he's making a play downhill, like, he almost killed a guy when I was watching him. Like, loves to hit. And just TJ Tampa is a phenomenal name.
Doesn't TJ Tampa stand for Tampa Bay Junior? Tampa Bay Junior? Isn't that what it stands for?
What?
That's what I could be wrong. I thought that was the case. We should look it up.
Okay, so if you look for athletic comparisons for TJ Tampa, Cooper Dejean is third.
That's
number one is Malik Willis.
I can't believe I didn't read TJ Tampa's beast thing. I would know this off the top of my head.
His name is Marcus Tampa.
Ah, dang it. Okay. Well, his name is Marcus Tampa, but Marcus is not a T or a J.
It's like Eugene and T.Y. Hilton, baby. Let's go.
Romeo Dobbs is also an athletic comparison for TJ Tampa.
Let's go. Let's ride.
Does he have strong hands?
Heck yeah.
I don't remember if I put anything about ball skills in my notes. I just remember I just became enamored with him because he was just killing people. I was like, I love it. Sign me up.
He seems pretty thick.
He's thick. He's thick, but also very long.
Yeah.
He just, like, the length stands out.
I have one who didn't test well that I've been wanting to ask somebody about. Did you watch Bo Braid at all?
Yeah.
I think he's good. I just wish he would have tested, like, I don't know, twice as good as he did.
Yeah, it's a tricky one. Like, this safety class is so hard to evaluate.
Yeah.
Outside of, like, the big three, which are Bullard, Tyler Newbin, and Cameron Kinchins, although I have no idea where Kinchins is going at this point.
Yeah.
It's a toss-up. I mean, I have Bo, is it Brady? Braid, I don't know. He's my fifth-ranked safety.
Okay.
Malik Mustafa, I would move heaven and earth for. I love him so much. He is the best tackler pound-for-pound of this
class. I did Google. He is not related to Isaiah Mustafa, the former Old Spice guy.
Thank you. That was something I immediately thought of.
Of course, the former Old Spice guy.
I did actually
guy.
Look that up. That's one thing. Yeah.
And I guess outside of the first round, do you have anybody just off your board that is, you know, on everybody else's or talked about widely or anything like that? Because I do. So
it's a great question. Let me. Oh, I got one. Maybe it's not round one. Jaden Hicks out of Washington State. He blacked out against Washington. Outside of that, I don't see it.
Okay.
Outside of that tape, I just don't think he has the play speed. He's way too late to react to like underneath routes and then causes horrible angles, results in like big plays.
All right.
I don't know. I don't put people off my board just because I'm not. I want to have these guys with notes on here. I don't know how to.
That's
do
fair that. Enough.
My brain doesn't.
No,
work
that,
like
that makes sense. I'm like, I've tried to be a lot more forgiving. Like I wrote, you know, that I didn't like Keon Coleman, but like. There are enough positives. I understand why people like Keon Coleman, and he did what Puka did last year mm-hmm. at the Combine. He had the fastest speed on the actual drills. He showed off football speed, even though he didn't run fast in the 40. So there's enough there for me. Like, I might be wrong about that. That's fine. And if they happen to draft Keon Coleman, I'll be like, all right, they were right about Jaden Reed. They're probably right about this too. So let's roll with it.
I just note on Jaden Hicks, he didn't run the 40, but he has a stupid good three cone. So
I think he ran the 40 as pro day and ran really well. And it's
okay. Well, so he didn't run at the combine, but he got a 6.88 in his three cone, which is stupid fast.
I have a guy I wouldn't touch. Well, two guys. I would not touch Blake Corum. I know how many Packers fans love Blake Corum. That's just too much mileage on a running back.
Agreed.
And then I would not touch Peyton Wilson.
See, he's one of mine too.
Three season-ending injuries, and we just found out today he has 6th percentile arm length,
which is amazing.
Which explains I've been wondering, like, every time I watch him, how is this super athlete that's huge, like, not able to get off blocks and get caved in all the time?
Yep.
This has answered all my questions. I now understand why I wouldn't touch him.
It's such a great fact to drop in, because I'm the same way. Like, I was watching him, and I was like, why is he so highly rated? He looks like Ty Summers. Like, I literally thought that at one point. And then that they dropped it. Like, his arms are much shorter than Ty Summers are. It's not good.
It's a real bummer, because you can see there's something there.
Yeah,
but
you
can see something
with Ty Summers, but he can't rap.
Yeah. It's unfortunate.
Yep. I also wouldn't touch Malachi Corley with a 10-foot pole personally. He ran a fake offense. He is a good athlete, but he never once ran a legitimate route in his entire college career. And maybe you can work with that, but I don't want to for the cost that's going to take.
It feels like malpractice when I hear Deebo Samuel comparisons.
It's not right. Deebo is good at stuff. Like he runs the full route tree. That's why he's open, because you have to respect his deep speed and his cuts and things like that. Like Leggett's a much better comp for Deebo. First of all, don't make Deebo comps. But if you do, you have to make it with a guy who can actually run a full route tree and is 220 pounds and a tank when he has the ball in his hands. You need all of that. Otherwise, don't bother.
We have cheapened Deebo Samuel.
We have.
To such a high degree.
But anytime his name is mentioned, Paul goes on his stop looking for Deebo's rant.
Well, people are doing that with Corley. This is part of that. And, like, Leggett can do other things. So you have some other options of him being good. But, like, he's the most like that. Corley is not. Corley is a gimmick player exclusively. I have Newbin on here, too, by the way. I also wouldn't draft him. I do not like him at all. He bad. All right.
At some point, you just need to take a safety, though.
You do.
It's like,
if
it's Malik Mustafa or Javon Bullard, like, there's going to be laps around the house.
Absolutely true. All right. So I think we can move along and get to questions because everybody's got to get to bed. But before we do that, really quick, last question. What's your nightmare scenario for the rest of the division?
Oh, I mean, that's easy. Bears take Bears taking Caleb.
They're going to have Caleb.
They're going to have Caleb. If they take Roma Dunze with that, I'm just terrified.
Same.
And it's not even like if they're good or not, but just in my head, out of the gate, when the comps are Aaron Rodgers and Devontae Adams for those two guys, I hate that. I want that for me again. It'll make me want that and make me miss those days. not that there's anything wrong with right now. And then the other nightmare scenario is Drake May going to the Vikings.
Yeah.
Like, he's my QB one. I think in the right spot, he's just going to be like special, special. Speaking, I not to bring it up again, but that Ringer podcast episode today. So Lex's hot take for the day was he thought that May and Caleb Williams could be the next Mahomes, Josh Allen, as far as like how dominant they could be.
I think that's fair. And the Vikings are the right place to land. Like,
yeah, it is. Yeah.
I think Drake May like does not have his future in his hands. I think if he ends up on Washington, that's awful. It's a bad landing place for any quarterback, in my opinion, but especially for him. And hopefully that does not happen. But yeah, the Vikings will be terrifying if they get Drake May.
For the Lions, just not messing up the draft because they're already in a pretty good spot, I guess.
They were dumb last year, so I'm interested to see what they do this year.
That was such a weird draft.
Yep. What's that guy's name? Jack Lawrence?
Campbell?
Yeah.
Jack Campbell. Iowa inside linebacker. They traded up for Jahmyr Gibbs and they took an inside linebacker. Weird draft for them.
And then took Brian Branch pretty early too.
Yep. Mm-hmm. At least he's okay.
Yeah.
All right. Shall we move on to questions? Because we have
one note.
Yes.
Wouldn't it be nice if Odunze fell, the Packers could move up?
It would, but him. If that happens, it'll be.
Wouldn't it be nice to go to Rome with love?
It would. Yes.
It's very nice. Yeah. Tyler's actually playing the part of JR because he's facepalming so hard that he can't even speak.
I hope the Bears take Bowers with that pick. Not that I think Bowers is a fine prospect, but tight ends just don't hit in the first round that much, and I'm good with that.
Brock Bowers is the "but it could work for us" meme.
Totally.
Like, because every time I watch him, I'm like, I want that.
He was so good in 2022, man, he was rough. Did he run? I don't think he did, right?
Like, no, he didn't do any testing besides a private workout.
I feel like you got to have some red flags about what kind of shape he's in, because he did suffer an injury, and I wonder if he's still not over it, because he really, really was rough this season.
I got to see him when he was a true freshman, because I was at the national championship they won against Bama, and I just walked away from that night going like, that's one of the best football players I've ever seen.
Yeah.
Like, I was like, that guy's a freshman? Are you serious?
Yep. He's actually kind of gotten a little bit worse every year he's played. And that is what he was like legitimately. And in 2022, he was one of the best receivers any kind in all of college football. So
I wanted him in Indianapolis so bad, just because Shane Steichen is a sicko, and having him and Anthony Richardson is like the sexiest offense.
That'd be fun. That would be good.
By the way, the Bears fandom would be so psyched, according to Reddit.
I'm sure they would.
Brock Bowers pick. Because you know what the Bears need is they just need to keep trying at tight ends.
Keep
man.
Going. Yep. Cole Kmet 2, Greg Olsen 3, whatever else.
I was going to say, like hyper athlete with a receding hairline, they're just going after Greg Olsen again.
Yep. Pretty much. You got to have somebody around to replace the freeway signs once Brian Urlacher passes on. So that's how it rolls. All right. Let's get to questions. Same deal as always. Patrons get question priority on this podcast over at patreon.com/mketailgate. $2 gets you that. $5 gets you my mini pods and some baseball stuff as well. And so that's that. And playing the part of JR this week will be Matt, who should read a question.
Okay. I'm going to put on my business voice.
You better.
Mark Pod Scarby first, as always. This isn't Packer-specific, but can you help explain the Jaden Daniels love to me? It seems many are ignoring obvious red flags with him. He has a very high pressure-to-sack rate. He doesn't throw over the middle very often. He rarely goes past his first or second read before deciding to scramble. He's old for a prospect, and he is extremely skinny for a QB prospect. I get he dominated last year, but that was as a 23-year-old with Malik Nabers and Brian Thomas Jr. as weapons and playing behind one of the best O-lines in college, while his four previous seasons were fairly mediocre. I don't get how he's not easily QB4.
I kind of like this take, and I have a conspiracy theory I don't really believe in, but I'm convinced that all of these smart GMs started talking to the new Commanders owner and just started telling him, like, man, this Jaden Daniels guy's really good. You should really pick him at 2. And he's like, you know what? I watched a YouTube highlight film. I'm all in. Let's see what this guy can do.
I actually think that's a really good theory, and a lot of the quarterback smoke screens lately have been, I think, along those lines. The simple answer is, if you don't look too deeply, he had like the best season a college quarterback has ever had. He was an incredible rushing quarterback, and he threw 40 touchdowns against 4 picks. Incredibly efficient. But yeah, Mark, everything you say is correct. And I would urge anybody who is high on Jaden Daniels to especially go read Ben Solak's breakdown of him at the Ringer Draft Guide specifically, because I had a theory about Jaden Daniels, which was 2022, he was sacked on 30.3 or something like that percent of his pressures, which is unplayable. Like, you can't be an NFL quarterback with those numbers. He got it down to 20% this year, and after I watched him a lot, I thought, well, he got it down because they told him, look at your two guys, and if they're not open, then run, which he did, which is why he rushed for 1,300 yards or whatever and 10 touchdowns. And that was my going theory. And indeed, yes, he ran on like 40% of his pressures, which not sustainable, especially for a guy who takes just massive hits in college football. And as soon as an NFL linebacker hits him once, it's going to be a problem. So
he also has a hyperinflated bursa sac in his throwing arm.
Oh, good.
And so
not like just a messed up photo? Like, is that a real thing?
It's a real thing. So he wow. even missed time for it. He had surgery on it. They say it doesn't affect his throwing motion, but it's just pain. But like, pain.
What?
Pain in the elbow of your throwing arm.
That's not good.
The guy that is in a massive threat to die because he gets tackled like a Looney Tunes character has an inflamed elbow on his throat. What are we doing? Drake May is right
He's
there.
Right there. He's right
He's
there.
Right there.
Yeah.
Sorry. That's my rant.
No, it's fine. And the age thing is actually a good and underrated point as well. Like, I know a lot of people will look at JJ and look at Daniels and be like, well, obviously Daniels is a ton better. And one of the things you have with JJ is, I don't think enough people treat him kind of like Drake May, because he is actually younger than Drake May. And while he doesn't have the physical tools Drake does, he's an inch shorter, he's 20 pounds lighter, and he throws a 60 ball instead of a 70. But if you treat him like a developmental quarterback who you can, you know, train a little bit better on his outside passing and to layer the ball a little bit better, you'll have something. Whereas Jaden Daniels is an old man. This is what he's going to be. He's an old man who is good at throwing the ball, but who gets destroyed when he runs and has an inflamed elbow and gets destroyed a lot because he takes sacks a lot. It's a problem. It is a problem.
He is fun. For saying that Hendon Hooker should fall in the draft, and then people were like, how dare you? That man is a treasure, even though he's 100 years old.
I remember it well. Hooker. Yep.
I feel like this is going to be the Hendon Hooker. Like Jaden Daniels actually goes in the third round or something. No. And I doubt
how bad the Washington Commanders took everyone to Topgolf, like a deep visit together, because they just couldn't be bothered to individually meet with these guys.
Yeah, I feel
pretty confident.
But maybe it was a PSYOP experiment to like see.
If we know anything about the Commanders, they're thinking three steps ahead.
Oh, yeah. My comp for him when I first started watching him was Fast Joe Burrow, but it's very clear that what happened with Burrow was he did take also a lot of sacks and then improved to about 20%. I think he was 19.8% in his last year of college, and Joe Burrow takes too many sacks, which is why he didn't finish last year. But he turned his clock up, and that's why he threw 60 touchdowns instead of rushing for 10 and throwing for 40. Like, that's the difference that happened there, and that's the big difference between the two is Daniels turned those sacks into rushing yards, which isn't going to work at the next level, at least not the same. So, yeah, I would steer clear of that one. You know what? I mean, I would take Daniels at some point, but top four is not where I would take him.
That Burrow LSU team was just absolutely insane.
Just silly.
That team was so good.
Yep.
PJ, don't call me Nuclear Wessels. What position, if any, should the Packers draft more than once, more than twice?
I go O-line here just because it's so deep, and you can never have too many of them. I think the simple answer there.
I think O-line and late running backs. Just like give me all of the fifth round plus running backs.
We have 11 picks. May as well do that.
Yeah, I could be down for double dipping at running back if you don't take an early guy. Sign me up for that. 1.5 linebackers maybe? I could see two safeties, because if you don't trust Anthony Johnson Jr., there's nothing else. There's nothing else on your roster. Just double up, get a little depth there.
Yeah,
I believe in AJJ. I think I think he'll really take a leap this year. He was my
trying to think of what else. I like the. You know what, Matub? The running back take's probably my favorite take of the day.
Yeah.
That was a good one. I could really.
It just feels like a thing that Goot would do with how many picks we have.
It's also a smart idea to double dip late. Running back talent can be found late. It's routinely found late, and you increase your chances vastly by doing that.
Isaiah Pacheco, Aaron Jones. Yeah.
I'm thinking of the last two times Packers double dipped. Right? Was it only two?
Jonathan Franklin, dude.
Jonathan Franklin and Eddie Lacy. That was supposed to be the Thunder and Lightning, man.
I thought Franklin was going to be a god.
Yeah,
I was so convinced.
That Bengals game, man.
Yeah.
Who's the Purdue running back?
Right now?
Yeah. He's in the draft.
Tracy. So I asked a Purdue fan that's like hardcore Purdue fan about him today, and he went, "I barely remember who that guy is, and I don't understand why he's getting draft love." Which
interesting.
I was like, "Oh, yeah."
His like explosiveness numbers are really good. That's why he's getting draft love. Like
I think he only had like 100 carries on the year though.
I think that is correct. So he's low use. I think he's a good receiver, too. I think that's the other reason.
That's really weird. I haven't watched him. Maybe it's the – I've had to watch him for 6 years.
He has a 9.6 RAS. That's take him. I don't care.
Yeah, sure. I don't care either. Take him.
Like, look, man, he can catch a swing pass. Yeah, he ran a 4.49.
I just saw a tweet on my tweet deck of the side of me. Tyrone Tracy might have just had the most batshit run of the season. Sorry, I cursed.
Oh, he's an old.
Yeah.
That's probably.
Look, man, it's the odometer, not the model year.
Yeah. All right. Oh, he's a converted wide receiver and an old. All right. That explains a lot of this.
That we found our Debo, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah.
So in 2019. He was a receiver for Iowa, and he caught 36 balls for 589 yards and 3 touchdowns. And then he converted to running back at Purdue and has been pretty good at it. So he's weird.
Yep. That's my scouting report. I'll put it in the notes. He's weird.
He's weird. All right. Matt, on to the next.
Oh, sorry. He was Big Ten all academic, so obviously that.
Oh, yeah.
That's what matters. Jonathan Deal. Who should be the most nervous for their status on the 2025 Packers based off of who the team might be targeting in the draft? The olds, Preston, Kenny, and Elton, or the injureds, Stokes and Watson? If Eric Stokes is a Packer in 2025, I'll eat my hat.
Yeah. I think Stokes is an easy one. Josh Myers, I don't even... what have you done, man? I know you've played your best football recently, but your best football is an idiot.
Right, my tweet about that last year was, man who regularly shoots self in the leg, shoots self in foot.
I want to see Josh Myers get better. I really do. But move Zach Tom to center and find a right tackle and move on from him.
Agreed. I don't want him to get better. I'm still ticked off they didn't take Humphrey. So,
I think at this point the fandom is very aware of our... Like, yeah, we are super critical, but also, like, we want these guys to succeed.
We do, because we want the team to be
Don't ask the Twitter trolls, because they'll just be like, why do you hate this person?
I like how Kenny is considered an old, because he's going on to his third contract, but he's like...
What, he's like 28?
Yeah.
Yeah, and...
Because he was drafted before he could legally drive.
And the olds don't have to be nervous about anything. They've all been... All of those guys are good and have been paid lots of money already, and they'll only lose their jobs if... Basically, somebody awesome comes along, or if we need to cut costs for some reason. Stokes should be worried because he might be out of football. And Watson, I mean, Watson's going to get a lot of chances. He shouldn't really be worried, but I think there'll probably be some Watson insurance that does come along. So, yeah.
Is there a Watson replacement somewhere in there, Tyler?
Is there
is there a giant guy who runs a 4.3?
Yeah, Leggett is going to be up there. The one that's probably going to be drafted, but if the Packers just wanted to do a bit and take a receiver at 25, Brian Thomas Jr. out of LSU is the guy.
Yep.
Everyone likes to type up Jaden Daniels and Malik Nabers, but Brian Thomas was pretty sick.
He was actually better than him, Roba and Rops-wise, and
Yeah,
he was.
Really?
Yep. And he, you know, you can make arguments all day about, well, he had the lesser defensive attention paid to him and all that, but he was at least his equal, neighbor's equal.
So it's a weird thing to explain, but the thing I love about Brian Thomas the best is, like, when someone's trying to engage with him from off coverage, his ability to, like, dip under that contact and keep going vertically without losing speed is, like, a sick trait that, like, not a lot of vertical threats can do.
Yep. Love it.
For the uninformed, Brian Thomas Jr. is 6'2 and 7/8, so, or basically 6'3. Weighs 210 and ran a 4.34. Jesus Christ.
You gotta watch it too. If you watch the actual 40, it's like, what the?
He was the secret star of the receivers at the combine. Everybody paid attention to Xavier Worthy because of his stupid 165-pound 4.22, but Brian Thomas was actually much more impressive than he was. Bunch of guys were. Adonai Mitchell was as well. I think Leggett was too. Stupid Worthy screwed up everybody.
I found it from a tub. I'm sending it to him.
All right, cool.
Okay, appreciate it. Bears fans on their subreddit, like, if you Google Brian Thomas Jr. RAS, the top result is the Bears subreddit losing their shit. So, man, the Bears getting, like, they're just drafting everybody.
Well, they have 4 picks, so no, they're not.
Okay, right. So you're going to have to help me out with this. Michael Parr?
Yep.
Two A's?
Michael Parr.
Michael Parr. Do certain NFL organizations have a propensity for drafting from certain universities? For example, it certainly seems if the Packers, like Iowa guys, Verba, Campman, Hyde, Daniels, Bulaga, Iowa, Jackson, and Van Ness. There also seems to be regional aspects to later rounds.
If I recall, isn't UCLA the most drafted school for the Packers over the last, like, decade?
I think it was at one point, but it might have been superseded by, like, Georgia at this point.
That could be.
Packers take a lot of Georgians.
So there definitely are schools that people lean to a little bit. I mean, everybody scouts nationally, for sure. Everybody takes a look at everybody. Everybody gets tape on everybody. But not everybody has connections through everybody. You know, everybody's got their tree. It tends to extend into college. And so you can get at least a little bit of inside information, or at least, you know, some idea of prospects on a personal level for red flags and things like that through the people that you know in those universities. And that is different for every team. There is also, you know, an aspect of close physical proximity because time and resources are limited. It's easier to check out guys who are physically close to where somebody lives. The Bears also, for a very long time, were extremely lazy and just scouted the general area. They tended to pick Notre Dame quite a lot when it was not justified at all. You would see random guys from Northern Illinois get drafted when there was no reason to do that for a long time. I think they've moved on from that, but it was funny and hilarious for quite a while.
I'm currently scrolling the Pro Football Reference Packers draft history sorted by university. Iowa is very big. Michigan, also very big in history, but that's like, this is like picks in the 40s. And stuff.
Yeah.
Minnesota history. With a bullet. Like, if you want to go all time Packers draft history, the number one university is Minnesota. Like, and it's not even close.
Huh.
Who's the most recent Minnesotan?
The most recent Minnesota pick is
thinking.
Is it Darrell Thompson from many, many years ago?
Kamal Martin,
linebacker. Yeah, okay.
Wow. Yeah.
There was a pick after Darrell Thompson, by the way. It was Chris Darkins, 1996.
Yeah,
that's not a real name.
So a lot in the 70s and 60s, 50s, basically all of the 50s was Minnesota, and a lot of the 40s. So yeah, like historically it was Minnesota, but Iowa does have a big chunk, and it's fairly recent.
Yeah.
Also, Micah Hyde went to Iowa. How could you leave him out of that list? Come on. All right, Bryce Trozen. If Cooper DJ is there at 25, I like calling him Cooper DJ. If he's there at 25, is that a run, don't walk to the podium pick? And Paul, you're a mensch for using your DIY platform to bring the other teammates in for their podcast since Stupid Butt Nation decided they hate free money. I said Stupid Butt Nation, not him. Sorry. Keep up the great work.
For me, that's a run, don't walk. That's if he's actually there, I would like to take him over just about anybody who would plausibly be there. Personally, I don't know, Tyler.
Context matters. I don't know who else is there.
It depends who else
something
is there.
Something stupid. Spencer Rattler could go in the first round for all I know. And suddenly there's like three guys I want there. I don't know.
Yeah.
No, then all of a sudden Commanders take Bo Nix at 2.
I am convinced that both Bo Nix and Michael Penix will be drafted before 25, and I will laugh at both of them.
I agree.
But I also love Michael Penix, and I hope he's awesome in the NFL.
I also agree. But
Brooke loves Penix.
I love Penix.
Yep. All right. On to Patrick.
But also, thank you for the sentiment.
Yes, I do appreciate that.
Yeah.
I'm
for following the lore.
Happy I've been able to help get things back up and running. So, corporate media companies, man, they
tell me about it.
A trip. They are a trip.
Paul sent me a message last week asking for help on the network logo, and I didn't see the message until today. So I've done negative work helping people on this. Patrick Detmer, is there a guy who's a, quote, Packers type, high RAS, meets various size and agility thresholds that you would like the team to avoid selecting in the first three rounds?
That's a good question.
Yeah.
I got to think about that.
Newbin, right? That would be.
He did not test
he
well.
He tested
at all,
terribly.
What?
Yeah.
I think it'd be Guyton for me, right? He tested
it
well.
Probably is Guyton, yeah.
Great agility.
What about Cooper Beebe?
Not Newbin. God, who am I thinking of?
You know, day two, fine.
All right.
The way I've explained it to Justice, because Justice was much, much lower on him than I was.
Ah.
Cooper Beebe getting drafted by the Packers would simply tell me what kind of offense they want to run. And it would be a lot of gap scheme and a lot of pulling and a lot of trap and stuff like that, which honestly, Stanovich has done a good job of that in the past. It would just limit them. And what I've always liked about the Packers in the past couple of years is they really like to diversify that run game based on matchups.
Totally fair.
Who? Okay. Tyler, it was one of the safeties you said.
Mm-hmm.
I can't remember.
Keon's probably mine, but I already talked about that. So.
But yeah, there was a safety who had really good agility, and I'm blanking. It's late.
It is late.
Mustafa, maybe? Hicks, Jaden Hicks.
That might be it. Rob Regis. Are the Bears seriously primed to take a huge leap? While their defense was good, they played nobody down the stretch, and LaFleur has proven capable of running circles around Eberflus. Other than Keenan Allen, their offseason acquisitions I found to be uninspiring, and their O-line is still not great. If they don't make the playoffs, Flus is gone, and they'll inevitably foist another system on a promising QB.
That's the thing. They might take a leap this year. Wow. Hold on 1 second.
Also, Keenan Allen is 100 years old and has been injured 18 times.
But that's true, but he's potentially going to be their third receiver. Like, he's a nice veteran presence, but I think there's a good chance they end up drafting their number two receiver in this draft. That's, I think, the big worry there. I do think they get, like, I like Caleb a lot. I think they almost can't screw this up. They can't.
He said it. Drink. Cheers.
Well, the reason they can't screw this up is because it's just there's been no smoke about them liking anybody else. It's very obvious. This is like Caleb's not as good as Peyton Manning, but this is like the Peyton Manning situation where you just know that's the guy you're going to take. Like, that's it.
Okay. No, there was a lot of Ryan Leaf smoke.
But it wasn't real.
Well, just like there was Mariota at 1 smoke. Back can I think of the other guy?
Jameis,
the famous Jameis draft.
Oh, like, yeah.
Everybody knew Jameis was going first.
Yeah, I am frantically trying to log into DVOA and it locked me out.
Okay, so I'm going to need podcast historian Matt to go back and find Paul saying those exact words about Justin Fields.
No, because he went like 10th. Like, that was just a good value pick.
But Paul's exact words about Justin Fields were like, almost can't screw up type of prospect.
I love that.
Caleb is a much better prospect than Justin Fields is.
A better prospect than Justin Fields. I'm just saying that you use the exact verbiage. Like, I gotta bring it up.
I think the Bears take a big leap this year, but if they regress again in 2025, that's where Eberflus potentially gets fired. And then all of a sudden you were 2 years into a regime with Caleb and now you have to switch things up again on him. And then if that doesn't pan out, then it could kind of snowball.
So
I think Eberflus can make it past. I think it's just, they might be a borderline playoff team because they spent a lot in free agency and got some top tier picks. Like, I think they could take a jump. Oh, and they traded for Montez Sweat. Like
they did
a bunch of big names that are good players, but from a sustainable team building perspective, just long term, I don't know how well that works.
What do against the Packers, Tyler?
Probably as well as the one guy that talked crap, the defensive lineman who I literally could not tell you his name.
No, you're thinking of their safety.
No, there's D lineman that talked mad crap before week one.
Really?
And then didn't produce a single statistic.
I think you were talking about their safety, man.
It was someone forgettable, so maybe
he is very forgettable.
Oh, now I'm looking up that too. DVOA is broken right now, by the way. Don't go look at it. It will lie to you. Let's see. Who was it? Not that guy, not that guy.
Jaquan Brisker. That's who you're thinking of. He's a safety.
He talked crap later in the year. There's another guy I'm thinking of. I'll find it.
Okay, Flaley Joel Osment.
Justin Jones.
Oh, yeah. I forgot Justin Jones even existed.
That's why I was saying I had to look up the literal depth chart from last year to figure out the guy's name.
All right, Flaley Joel Osment. Who are your top late rounder sleeper picks, and how many of them are linebackers or safety destined for special teams?
One. And he's both. He's both a linebacker and a safety. And it's Justice's favorite player, I think. I'm convinced it's his favorite prospect. James Williams out of Miami, who, as Justice has described him, is a bad guy. He hits really hard even when the guy does not have the ball. He is very rude, and I love it. I call him an unhinged sicko.
Nice. I did too much work on guys who aren't going to be drafted at all. And so my guys are all guys
that's
who...
That's the Lord's work.
You could just get guys that I like for free. I guess I'll mention a couple things really quick. Jacob Cowing had a very bad year this year. And of the draftable receivers was actually... Of the ones I have stats on, he was the worst this year. But 3 years ago, 2021, he was actually one of the best receivers in college football. And so I put a little, like, Dontavian Wicks note on him that maybe something happened at his university that just screwed everything up. He went to Arizona, though, and their offense, I think, was pretty good. So I don't know about that. I would take him late just as a flyer on that to see if you can coax something out of him a little bit. And Jamari Thrash was kind of the same for Louisville.
Such a cool name.
Yeah. He was 5% over average this year, which is not terrible, but not great. But he was 54% better than average in 2022 and one of the best receivers in football. So same deal. He's 24. He's old. There's a bunch of bad things. But if those guys, I think, will be available super late. If you need some receiver flyers, I would take them on either one of them.
Devin, you talk about Javon Baker? Sorry.
He's like mocked in like the third. So,
jeez.
Yeah.
That tracks. Every time I watch him, I'm like, that guy's going to be a really good NFL
He is.
Player.
He's good. And he has moved up all the consensus boards throughout the process over the course of the offseason.
You got to watch like 30 seconds of him. You're like, yep, that guy's
That guy's clearly good at football. For multiple seasons. Javon Baker's really good.
Yeah. My late round teamer is Evan Williams, I think. I think he'll be a sixth or seventh rounder who...
Of course it is.
Of course it is.
What? I'm just saying. Like I started looking into him because of the memes. And then it's like, oh, yeah, I think he could be Levitt.
Down Levitt,
yep.
But bigger.
Jermaine Burton is good, too, but we hear off-the-field stuff about him. So just throw that out there, too. Alas.
Pork Francis. What does a quote-unquote successful draft look like this year for the Pack? It's hard to imagine it going as swimmingly as last year's draft, but does Goody play it safe and fill holes, or does he swing for the fences and grab athletic upside in the early rounds? Can he do both? Love you guys.
I mean, the upside is that you get enough contributors that you can literally contend for a Super Bowl this year, like, with ease.
Yeah.
And I think that is realistic. You're not gonna have the success you had last year. Like, you've got... I'm trying to think of how many. I literally cannot count off the top of my head how many legitimate contributors you drafted last year.
I think it was five or six.
Yeah. But then you even have those like fringe guys like Valentine, Carl Brooks.
Yeah.
Who knows if Wooden's going to be anything. But like, holy crap.
Carl Brooks is not a fringe guy. Carl Brooks is a legitimate contributor.
He's so good. I want to get his jersey because it's the closest jersey I'll get to Brook. Like, yep. It's just the closest.
I'd say they had like 7 or 8 hits last year. And you're right. Like the drinking thing, regression to the mean going to happen at least a little bit. Like you're not going to. Cheers. You're not going to hit on everything. But I feel like just adding depth at a few spots and then knocking out of the park would be getting key contributors at a couple of their remaining weaknesses. Like if they can get another safety who's actually good, hard in this draft, I think if you get Cooper, you fix a lot of that. And then like a D-line who actually can make an impact would be nice as well for depth there. And I do think if you come out of this with a couple more offensive linemen, it's just such a good offensive lineman draft that everybody should probably try and do that. That's probably how you get this one done.
So, yeah. Also, word association here, talking about, he's like, fill the holes. JR did a video for Milwaukee Journal Sentinel today where he explained how comp picks work.
Yep.
And he said in a very menacing voice, fill those voids. And like, that's been playing in my head all day. So go watch the video.
The video is very good. It is a good explainer.
It's
of how
very well produced. And
yep.
JR is great.
Yes. Kudos to the editor, because it is done in the style that you see so much on the internet these days of saying a few sentences and then a cut, and JR like moves from the right side to the left side. And like the cadence of his speech is just continuous. There's the cut is like barely noticeable at all. It's very, very well done.
Good job, K-time,
JR. Yep.
K-time 7. Do you see trading out of round 1 as more or less risky?
Is it trading out of round 1?
Yes. So trading into the second.
Into the second?
I would say I think in this draft more risky, because I think you're on that very, very end of the first round grades guy. That's just on my board. And I'm not an NFL scout, so what the hell do I know?
Yeah, and again, that's situationally dependent too. If like two quarterbacks fall, then it might make a lot of sense, because a lot of high level talent's going to get eaten up by those two extra picks, and you might get into the flatter part. But they are right on the cusp of where things fall off, especially at certain positions. Like I think after Quinion and DeJean, that position goes downhill pretty quickly, personally, and that's one that you don't want to, you know, waste on. So it depends.
Never in my days.
No. Okay, I need to stop you here. The fact that you're not a scout, I have seen what Daniel Kelly has said on the internet. So like, you not being a scout actually gives you more cred in my mind. If people don't know who I'm talking about,
I thought you were talking about Danny Kelly for a second. I was like, that was mean to Danny. I like that guy.
Google Daniel Kelly, former.
Is this
NFL
the Aaron guy. Hernandez guy?
That's the Aaron Hernandez guy. Yeah, he like stalked the Jets owner or something, and they like gave him a scouting job.
Okay.
He wrote a book about it. It's awful, and he's a terrible.
Hey. I wrote a book.
Yeah, he wrote a book about stalking someone. You wrote a book about football. There's a difference.
Is there?
All right. We're almost done. Let's get this home.
I'm delirious. Let's go.
I'm sorry. That was really good.
Yep.
Okay. Keith Kiskinen. In the first round, the Green Bay Packers will A, trade the pick, B, draft one of Cooper DJ, Graham Barton, or Amarius Mims, C, draft anyone else.
A. He didn't say trade up or down, right?
No, yes. Just trade.
He could potentially do A to do B.
Yeah.
I said this on John Meerdink's pod. I think the Packers are trading up. I don't know if that means in the first round. They are trading up for something.
I'll go with A too, because I think they'll either need to go up to get one of the guys they like, or they'll miss out on the guys they like, and it won't make sense to draft there, and they'll trade down for more picks. So I'll go with A as well. And I'll get to use my GIF, which makes me happy.
I'm going with C. Just
the field? With the field.
I'm betting the field.
Yep.
Cooper Beebe, first round, pop.
Also, shout outs to Tyler for having the gumption to go on Meerdink's podcast and having to be heard next to that golden throated man.
Every time I hear the voice, I just like, how do I compete with this?
It's like, look, Meerdink and I are friends. I will not record a podcast with that man because it will emasculate me to no end. Ryan Ziegler. dumb teams often overthink the draft. Could a completely uneducated GM who doesn't know anything about football draft BPA off the consensus board and find success? Sub question. Who do you see being the guy drafted way, way, way too high by a bad team?
Ooh, that's a good one.
Any of the quarterbacks.
That's also the answer. You're right about that.
It's always the answer, though. That's yeah.
So let me tell you about 2020. The 2020 fantasy season was the first time the Acme Packing Company crew did a draft together. I did not follow fantasy football at all at the time. I occasionally did. And then I basically just kind of picked, when I was drafting, I picked whoever was within like five places of where I was drafting. I picked that person. And then I promptly never logged in again. And I won the Acme Packing Company fantasy.
That did happen.
Now, so you know what? Throwing a dart at the consensus draft board is probably a really good way to draft.
I think there's like six or seven teams that would do better to follow just the consensus board. You know, relying on the wisdom of crowds is a safer idea. And if you're not extremely sophisticated in pulling out tiny advantages, you're not going to beat it. You're just not. And my other answer is Brock Bowers will be overdrafted by whoever drafts him. He is the best tight end in the draft, but you shouldn't take the best tight end in the draft in the first round, and he will go like top 10. So that's.
I got a sleeper take that makes me very sad, and it's Mike Sandersill, the corner out of Michigan.
Oh, yeah.
I love that guy. He's competitive as hell, but I think someone's going to put him in a situation he's not ready for. He's going to get reached, and there are some limitations with him in coverage.
That's a good call, too.
Power of the consensus reminded me there's a subreddit called Happy Crowds, which is just videos of crowds singing along with musicians. And when you get like 1,000+ people singing, it's averages out to be a phenomenal voice.
Yeah.
So everyone go check out the Happy Crowd subreddit. It is just dopamine hits nonstop. Nah. Mittens St. Brown. Is this the fourth brother that we don't know about?
Yes, or the cat, one of the two.
It's their cat. I was like... Given the state of the Packers, would you prefer Goody Swing for the fence? Oh, wait, no. Hang on.
Yeah, that's right.
But we already... Okay, no, that was a different question that said the exact same phrasing. I was like, am I rereading the wrong question? Given the state of the Packers, would you prefer Goody Swing for the fences or draft more conservatively? Does the current state of an NFL team have anything to do with your answer to this question? Good teams don't draft for need.
Bad teams do. I think it's a kind of an open-ended question, because what does swing from the fences really mean? Usually, for most teams, that means taking a swing at a quarterback. But generally speaking, you should not put more resources into a guy you view as a star versus getting more lottery ticket shots. Like that's bad practice. You don't want to do that. You generally will not be better at identifying all stars than the consensus board, than the order of picks, anything like that. And if you try to do that, that's how you end up taking Mitch Trubisky over Patrick Mahomes. Like, that's the kind of thing that leads to that. Don't do that.
Oh, man. Sorry, I read ahead some of these questions.
Well, let's do them.
Donald Anderson. With the NFL banning the swivel hip drop tackle, oh, God, I'm upset. Do you expect this will negatively affect A, the Packers play, and B, the J.R. Radcliffe Memorial Personal Foul Tracker with the nose, which the nation has grown so fond of?
I assume it'll just adjust. Oh, the tracker will exist because, I mean, we'll have a streak to keep track of. There'll be one every game for sure.
Also, didn't they claim that the hip drop tackle was going to be more fines than flags?
They did. You're right about that. They did say it will be enforced post-game most of the time. So,
so weird.
I got in a lot of trouble on the bird because I quote tweeted the NFL ops video of like examples of bad tackles, and multiple examples of tackles, the tackler never left the ground.
Yep.
And
it's a mess.
You can't unweight yourself if you're still on the ground.
Cannot.
You're not.
It's a conceptual mess. It's going to be a mess. So, I don't even, there's no way to predict who it's going to hurt more. There's really not.
I can guarantee you, the Lions play the Cowboys this year. And it's in Dallas. The Lions are going to lose a game because of a hip drop tackle flag.
Quite possible. I bet it'll be more official specific than anything else, though. All right.
Ooh, that's a good it's a good metric to look into this
well,
year.
Anytime they add in a judgment call, it brings officiating quality more into play. So that's the main thing. All right,
last
Danny,
but not least, final Patreon question. Danny Noonan, famous for being Paul's brother. Why is everyone asking questions about draft analysis when you just made it clear that everyone is bad at draft analysis?
Because it's fun.
Yeah.
Wouldn't it be stupigant for you to answer most of these questions? Stupigant is a word invented by Paul in an article he wrote about how everyone is bad at the draft.
Called "You Are Very Bad at Draft Analysis."
And by the way, if you Google the word stupigant with quotations, it has one hit, and it's Paul's article. He legitimately invented this word.
Sweet. But it is fun, and that's the main thing. It not everything has to be for intellectual additions to society. The draft is just funsies, so that's the answer.
I very emphatically feel this way. I'm not in this to be right. I'm in this to learn about the process, what goes into it, and then continue refining my own process, because it's a very fun project every year.
Exactly. That's it. And that is all. That is all the questions we have. Save the best for last and Danny there. All right. The draft is on Thursday. We'll have some kind of show. I will be around for at least parts of it. We'll be doing stuff. It'll be a good time. Hopefully we actually get to make a pick and we don't sit around and then we have a trade out of the first round, which happens with the Packers once in a while. But before we go, Tyler, you got anything to plug?
I write stuff again. So yeah. That's Woo. Pretty neat. And it is Packers specific. So Redacting Packing Company. And if I share heavy articles, click on them so that I can feed my cat.
We all do appreciate the clicks as the internet makes us get paid that way. Man. Matt, got anything to plug?
Jeez, my goodness.
Not making content yet as the season hasn't really started.
Yeah.
However, MLB The Show 24 dropped and you can play as a woman this year.
Yeah.
So Fart McDuty has a little sister. Her name is Toots.
Of course it is.
Toots is a two-way player. She hits dingers and throws cutters. Hmm. Decent velocity and a lot of movement.
Nice.
You still in the minors or are you up majors yet?
Triple A. Drafted by the Cubs. So is it the B's?
Yeah. Yeah, let's go.
All right. Before we go, you should read You Are Very Bad at Draft Analysis.
Yes,
it's funsies.
Absolutely.
I will I'll have something up on Bo Nix and Jaden Daniels and Michael Penix probably tomorrow. We'll see. Maybe Wednesday. and at least one more piece before the actual draft comes. We'll have coverage all through the weekend, so keep an eye out for that. But that'll do it here. So do enjoy the draft. It is a good old time.